So I wanted to slow down this morning and just take a moment to read one chapter of Scripture together. Can we do that? And we're going to do it slowly and just work our way through it. King David. God describes David as a man after his own heart. What I love about David is that David committed sin that I'm pretty sure most of us, or I hope most of us, haven't committed. David murdered. David was adulterous. David lied. David was manipulative at times. He cheated. And yet God looks at him and says, "This is a man after my own heart." David was a broken man at times. And you might be here this morning and feeling like, "I've done all of these things, God. How can you choose me?" Well, he chose David. David was considered the least of all of his brothers. You might be here this morning going, "God, what do I have to offer?" Well, he chose David. And King David writes this in Psalm 103. He writes this. "Praise the Lord. I tell myself with my whole heart." It's so important here. David says, "I tell my own heart." I don't allow my heart and my feelings to tell me. I'm not going to wait for my heart and my feelings to tell me how it feels this morning. I tell myself that I will praise the Lord, that I will praise His holy name. Praise the Lord. I tell myself. And there's something for you and I that when we face challenges, when we're feeling a certain way, that we speak to our own soul, we speak to our own body, we speak to our own mind and our own heart, and we tell ourselves, "You will praise the Lord." We don't allow our physical situation and circumstance to dictate to us. We tell ourselves, "I will praise the Lord." And he goes on to say, "I never forget the good things He does for me." The ESV puts it this way: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." The word benefit here is such a beautiful word in its original Hebrew. The word benefit means reward. And so what David is saying here, for you and I, we often count the cost of following Jesus. "I can't do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. There's opposition, there's difficulty, there's challenges. I've got to pick up my cross." And we're counting the cost. But what David reminds us here, he says, "Forget not all the benefits." Don't forget the good things that God does for you. And the word benefits means reward. So David is saying to you and I, don't forget the rewards of what following Jesus looks like. Stop counting the cost and counting the sacrifice. Forget not all of the rewards of following Jesus. We must not be so focused on ourselves and everything that we're doing and we're going through. We need to sometimes lift up our eyes and see the reward, see the blessing, see the benefits for you and I of following God. Another translation puts it this way. It says, "You are my soul's celebration." God, you are my soul's celebration. Your soul should be celebrating and rejoicing, full of joy, full of victory, full of excitement. "You are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness that you've done for me?" And I would encourage you this morning, whatever you're going through, wherever you are, that God has given you good things, that God has given you benefits, that God has given you rewards, that God has given you miracles of kindness, and don't forget about them, both here and now, but also as we look over our shoulder. Look at the goodness, the kindness, and the faithfulness of God. The mere fact that you are here this morning is a testimony to His goodness and kindness to you and I. So in life, which can be tough and difficult, I want to say to you this morning, do not forget the good things. Do not forget the benefits. Do not forget the reward. Do not forget the miracles of kindness that He has performed for you and I, and He still is doing it to this day, and He still will do it going forward. In the next few verses, David begins to go into these rewards and these miracles of kindness. And in verse 3, he says this: "He forgives all my sins and heals all of my diseases." I don't know about you this morning. You might be here and have a list of sin. You might be currently battling with sin. You might be currently stuck in pornography, stuck in addiction, stuck in situations. But David writes, and he doesn't say some of my sins. He says that God forgives every single one, all of them. And it doesn't matter how long you've been struggling. It doesn't matter how long you've been battling. God's desire, His will, and His promise to you and I is every sin you've committed, every fault you've made, every time you've fallen, that He is there to pick you up and to forgive you. Lamentations 3 verse 22 says this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I want to remind you this morning of who God is. His love is steadfast. His love for you does not change or alter based on you and where you are at. There is nothing you can do ever that will stop God from loving you. There's nothing you will ever do that will disqualify you from the love of God. It never stops. It never ends. There is no end to the love of God for you and I. You can't exhaust it. You can't outrun it. His love for you and I is never changing and never ending. And David says in Lamentations that his mercies are new every single morning. I don't know about you, but I need mercy every single morning. And His mercy means this, it means His favor and His grace. So when God is merciful to you, He gives you grace and He gives you favor. And it's such a beautiful word. He comes into your life and He says this, I'm going to give you forgiveness and I'm going to give you the power and the strength to work out of this sin, to break free of this trap. He doesn't just leave us there in a state of being forgiven. He equips us and empowers us that you and I can walk this journey out with Him. And He gives us favor. I want to tell you this morning that God favors you, that God loves you, that God sees you and has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that plan is new mercy every morning. That plan is new forgiveness every morning. That plan is new grace. Every morning. I don't know what you've been up to. I don't know what you've done or where you've been, but I want to tell you right here, right now, that there is new mercy here today, and it's within reach, and it's free. It isn't earned. I don't know if you've been going around the same mountain, going through the same challenges, but His mercy today is new. It is not the same mercy yesterday. It is not recycled or reused or repeated. There is new mercy for your new situation. There is new mercy for your new challenge. There is new mercy for whatever you're facing this day. And all that it requires of us is, God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. It's not earned. It's not worked for. It's a gift that He gives us. The same verse in verse 3 says this, He forgives all my sins and He heals all my diseases. I would love to see the power of God break out in our meeting, break out in our congregation. I would love to see people healed from disease, people healed from sickness. This isn't just my opinion or my perspective or my preference. This is what the Word of God says, that He forgives all sins and He heals all diseases. Can we become a people that believe and trust God that He would heal our diseases, that He would heal our sickness, that He would pour His Spirit out and the supernatural, the power of God would be displayed and expressed in this house, in this family. And once again, it requires nothing of you. This is who He is. This is His nature, His character. It just requires us to posture ourselves and say, here I am, God. Here I am. The next verse says this in Psalm 103 verse 4. He ransoms me from death and He surrounds me with love and tender mercies. Another translation says this, you've rescued me from hell and saved my life. Can I tell you what? Before any benefit, before any reward, before any miracle, the greatest miracle, the greatest reward, the greatest benefit for you and I is God took us out of hell and saved us. And the challenge in today's society, with everything needing to be politically correct and bad for our mental health, we don't teach on hell enough. Do you know that Jesus spoke about hell more than any other character in the whole Bible? In the Gospels, he mentions the concept or principle of hell over 35 times. Over 35 times, Jesus talks about hell. And the reality and the truth for you and I is that as real as heaven is, hell is equally as real. And the greatest benefit, the greatest reward, the greatest good thing he did for us is he came and pulled us out of hell. And when we come into relationship with him, he puts us in to heaven. So I want to tell you this morning, do not forget that he saved your life. Do not forget that he has forgiven you of your sin. He has healed you of your disease. He has pulled you out of hell and put you in heaven for eternity. David says in the same verse that we've been crowned with love and tender mercies. That Jesus comes to you and he puts love and tender mercies on your head. That Jesus comes to you and he says this, he says, here's my love, here's my mercy, here's my grace, here's my kindness. This is who you are. This is your inheritance. This is your portion. I know sometimes we go through some things, but it doesn't matter where your feet are standing. What matters is what's on your head. And he has crowned each and every one of us with mercy and with love. And that is our identity. That is our promise. That is our portion. That is who we are. So when you're facing an enemy, when you're facing despondency, when you're facing accusation, when you're down in the dumps, remember to lift up your eyes and go, my portion, my promise, my identity is that I'm crowned with love that surpasses all understanding. I'm crowned with love that is steadfast for eternity. I'm crowned with love by my King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his mercies are on me and they are new every morning. That is who I am. That is my promise and that is my portion from God. I am not lost. I am not rejected. I am not disqualified. I am loved by an everlasting Father, and he has placed his mercy on me. The next verse he says is this in verse 5. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The ESV says this, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Sometimes we're so wired to look at our lack, what I don't have or who I'm not yet. But he says, I come to you and I give you good things, and I satisfy you with good things. And as we learn to be satisfied with that which God has given us, love and tender mercies, forgiven us of all of our sins, if we learn to be satisfied by the good things of God, he says, I will renew your youth like eagles. And this youth isn't talking about age. It's talking about zeal. It's talking about passion. It's talking about strength. It's talking about your capacity. If you are here this morning and you're tired and you're running out of capacity and you're running out of strength, learn to become satisfied with the good things of God. It's not about trying harder. It's about looking deeper and seeing every good thing He's given you and becoming satisfied and fulfilled and content with what He has given you. And as you do that, He promises you and I that our strength will be renewed, that our youth will be renewed, that our capacity will increase, that our hearts will burn, that our zeal will be like never before. It is not a matter of age and stage. It's a matter of posture and honor. I'm going to be satisfied in every season with what you've given me, God. Because beyond what my hands hold or where my feet are, I'm crowned with love and I'm crowned with tender mercies and I'm satisfied with you. And watch yourself become renewed. Watch yourself become energized and set on fire in zeal. It's not a matter of trying harder, it's a matter of looking deeper. The next verse says this: the Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated fairly. I want to ask you a question this morning and be honest. Who at some stage in their life has felt like they've been treated unfairly? Yeah. If you haven't raised your hand, I want to have a conversation with you afterwards just to ask you how you got to this place. The truth is this, that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where people are broken, where there's sin all around. Bad things are going to happen. Painful things are going to happen. Things are going to happen to us when we feel like we've been treated unfairly. I don't deserve this, God. What have I done? I don't know. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through, but I do know it promises me in that verse that the Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated fairly. And if you are here this morning and maybe you've been treated unfairly in the past, or maybe you're going through something right now that feels unfair, He gives justice. And He gives righteousness. And what that means is this: when the Lord gives righteousness, He takes you from where you are and brings you to Himself in right standing with Him. And He says to you, I'm not going to let you stay a victim. I'm not going to let you stay in that place of being unfair. Come stand with me. And when He sees you oppressed, when He sees you unfairly treated, He brings you close to Himself and He says, come stand with me. I'm with you. And He gives you justice. So as difficult as it might be, whatever you're going through, come close to Him and watch His justice. David writes in verse 7, and he says this. David says, God revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. So in the first couple of verses, David writes and says, these are the benefits, these are the rewards, these are the blessings of following God. And then he goes on now and he says, this is God's character. This is how God has chosen to reveal Himself to us as a people. So when God reveals Himself, He says this in verse 8. So this is so powerful. David says to us that this is how God chose to reveal Himself. In other words, it's like God coming up to you and going, hi, I'm introducing myself. This is who I am. And this is God introducing Himself to Moses and to the people of Israel. And this is how He introduces Himself. This is how He describes Himself. And He says, the Lord is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to get angry and full of unfailing love. So if you want to know who God is, before He is the creator of the universe, before He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, before He is God, who He is merciful. Who He is gracious. Who He is, He's slow to get angry. And He is abounding and full of love. I don't know what your experience with God has been like. I don't know who has told you what God is like, but this is God Himself introducing Himself to us. And He says, I want you to know, I am merciful. I am gracious. I'm slow to anger. He is not an angry God. And I'm abounding, overflowing, overwhelming, full of an everlasting love for you. The word merciful here, it means compassionate and tender-hearted. For many years of my life, I believe God was angry. I believe God was disappointed with me. I believed I was never good enough for God. No matter how hard I tried, I could never sustain it. I could never live up to the expectation, the standards I thought God had. But I want you to know this morning that He is compassionate with us, that He is tender-hearted, that He is gentle and kind. Another translation says, Lord, You're so kind and tender-hearted. You are so patient with people who fail You. Listen to this. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. I wonder if just for a moment we could close our eyes. And I want to read this over us this morning. And the reason I'm asking us to close our eyes is just to limit all distractions. Lord, You are so kind and tender-hearted, so patient with people who fail You. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. Now, just for a moment, with your eyes closed, whatever area in life you might be going through some challenges and difficulties, whatever hurt you might have, whatever rejection, whatever hopelessness, wherever you have felt like you are facing some battles, I want you to picture the love of God coming like a river now and overflowing that with His kindness. And as you're seated there, it might be health, it might be sin, it might be finances, it might be relationships. Look at that challenge and see the love of God washing over it like a river. And just take a moment to say, thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for Your kindness. Just stay there for a moment. Do not forget the good things of God. Do not forget His benefits. Thank Him for His kindness. Thank Him for His kindness. Thank Him for His kindness over your job. Thank Him for His kindness over your home, over your family, over your children. Thank Him for His kindness over your past, that all sin is forgiven, that all diseases are healed. Thank Him for His kindness over your future, that He's gone before you and prepared the way, that He's known every day before you've lived it. We just thank You for Your kindness this morning, God. The next verse says this. David goes on to write and he says in verse 9, God will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all of our sins, nor does He deal with us as we deserve. And this is such a beautiful passage of scripture, because in reality, we deserve nothing. We deserve punishment. We deserve to be far from God because of our sin, because of who we are and what we've done. But He says God doesn't accuse you. He doesn't remain angry. He hasn't punished us for all of our sins. He doesn't deal with us as we deserve, because He gives us forgiveness and kindness and grace. He gives us mercy every morning. And let us not forget that. The next verse says this. His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Another translation says this, and listen, higher than the highest heavens. That's how high your tender mercy extends. Greater than the grandeur of heaven above is the greatness of your love, towering over all who fear you. His love is unceasing, it's never ending. His love will never fail. It is higher, wider, deeper, and bigger than we could ever imagine. You can't outrun it, you can't exhaust it. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high is His love for you and I. The next verse says this, He has removed us, our rebellious acts, as far as the east is from the west. Another translation says, He has removed our sin. And I want you to know this morning that as we come to Jesus to receive mercy, He says, I take your sin and I remove it as far as the east is from the west. I wasn't a great scholar in school. But even with my limited geographical understanding and knowledge, I know that the East never meets the West. And I know that as long as we keep following Jesus, the East gets further from the West. So as we come to Him and receive His mercy, He takes your sin and says, I'm going to remove it from you as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to take it to a place you'll never see it again, you'll never hear it again, you'll never meet it again. And the further you go with me, the further your sin goes from you. Paul writes in Romans 8 verse 1 and he says this, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no longer a voice of accusation saying guilty, shame, bad, wrong, not good enough. That voice is gone the moment you and I come into relationship with Jesus, because He takes everything of us that is not of Him and He removes it as far as the east is from the west. Not by our doing, not by our strength, but by His mercy and His kindness. So I want to say to you this morning, every voice in your life that tells you it's not good enough, you tell that voice to shut up. You tell that voice to go as far as the east is from the west. Every voice this morning that tells you you're sinful, that tries to disqualify you, that tries to accuse you, that tries to tell you you're guilty, that voice is disqualified, that voice is silenced, because the voice that spoke creation into being says, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are forgiven, you are set free, and everything you've ever done is removed as far as the east is from the west. The next verse in verse 13 says this, the Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. He's your dad. I don't know about you, I had a very complicated relationship with my dad. It broke down my sense of self-worth, it broke down my identity, it broke down my value. I never felt good enough for my own father. And I tried the hardest I could try to please Him. I remember I used to play a little bit of rugby for the provincial trials, for those of you that know Craven Week, and I'm trying my hardest. And straight after the game, my dad comes up to me and says, I can see you've been praying too much. You've lost that edge, that aggression. And then for a season, I stopped praying as much to please my dad, to honor my father, because I wanted to be who he wanted me to be. And I had such a broken relationship with my dad, never feeling good enough. I used to exercise until I would cry and vomit and all of these crazy things trying to make him proud. This is the truth. And that slowly but surely affected the way I saw God. When I would try so hard to please God, I would try to pray as much as I can. I would try to read my Bible as much as I can. I would preach as much as I can. I would do everything I can, God, to try and be good enough for you. And you might be here today and your own relationship with your father has really affected your relationship and understanding of God. And I want you to know that this is what a father is supposed to be. Tender and merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, that is who our Father is. He's not a Father that stands at a distance waiting for you to come to Him. He is a father that meets you where you are at, picks you up in his arms. He covers the distance to us. But he has never walked away from us, and he never will. Another translation says, the same way a loving father feels towards his children, that's just a sample of God's tender feelings towards us. We are his beloved children who live in awe of him.